This morning's scripture comes from Amos, chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. This is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. The Lord said, "Amos, what do you see?" And I said, "A basket of summer fruit." And then the Lord said to me, "The end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The songs of the temple shall become wailings on that day, says the Lord God. The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in every place. Be silent. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, 'When will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the epheth small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, 'Surely I will never forget their deeds.' Shall not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who lives in it, and all of it rise like the Nile, and be tossed about and sink again like the Nile of Egypt? On that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning and your songs into lamentations. I will bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. I will make it like the mourning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it." These are our sacred stories. Thanks be to God. Amos makes a scene. He interrupts the worship service. He interrupts business as usual. Amos marches to the front of the sanctuary. The priest stops mid-sentence, his mouth hanging open. Amos ignores him. Amos cries, "The songs of the temple shall become wailings on that day, says the Lord God. The dead bodies shall be many. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring ruin to the poor of the land, saying, 'When will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the epheth small and the shekel great and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat.'" The poor and the needy are being abused. They're being cheated. The balances are rigged, and the wheat is not fully separated from the filler. The poor and the needy are being abused with predatory lending and fentanyl-laced drugs, because fentanyl is cheap and profit is more important than another overdose. The poor and the needy are being abused with for-profit prisons and for-profit detention centers. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. The Lord has sworn, "Surely I will never forget any of their deeds. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentations." Amos is not an invited speaker. He barges into a service already in progress. He interrupts the priest. This morning's lection is the second interruption. After the first interruption, the priest told him to go back where he came from. to go back to Judah and earn his bread there and shout his prophecy there back where he belongs. But Amos refuses to leave. He explains that God sent him to Israel, and then he just keeps talking. The service is ruined. The bulletins are worthless now. And as Amos talks, God directs him to the display of wealth and power, the full basket of summer fruit festooning the altar. Amos, what do you see? And Amos responds, a basket of summer fruit. And then the Lord tells Amos, the end has come upon my people, Israel. You see, we don't get it because this doesn't translate well. The word for fruit and the word for end sound almost identical in Hebrew, quiets and quets. So those reading and hearing this in Hebrew hear what's happening. Amos, look. See the quiets, the fruit basket festooning the high altar at Bethel? Amos, look. See the signs of the quets, the signs of the end decorating the altar? The high priest, Amaziah, was praising Yahweh for the abundant harvest when Amos interrupts. Your basket of fruit is no sign of your greatness. It's a symbol of your imminent end because of your treatment of the poor and the needy. Your symbol of wealth gained through oppression and abuse, through injustice and greed, your symbol of wealth is a sign of the end. But even with Amos shouting, some seem not to notice. No one seems to really be listening. They don't see that their symbol of wealth is not a symbol of divine blessing. And some 30 years after Amos's brief prophetic life, northern Israel was utterly destroyed by the mighty Assyrian army and disappeared from the pages of history. In that worship service, Amos shouted, "The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, and they shall not find it." And maybe they couldn't find it, and maybe they just weren't listening. There's nothing to suggest that Amos's words had any palpable effect during his own time. And yet we have them still. They live in the pages of our sacred stories. Amos has the power to interrupt us even now, if we'll hear him. Amos spoke to a people wrapped up in their nobility, their luxury, a people who thought that their affluence meant that God was pleased with them, that their wealth was a sign of God's favor. Amos disabused them of this notion. "God is not pleased with you," he cried. "You have forgotten justice. You've exploited the poor. You've abused the needy. God is angry. God will not forget what you have done. Your rejoicing and your splendor are coming to an end, and soon they'll be replaced with weeping." Cycles of marginalization, violence, and retribution are playing out over and over again in our midst. These things are painful to see. In fact, those who walk through life with privilege might not ever see them at all. But isn't this the task of people of faith, to see and to help others to see what is happening? God isn't sending us a fruit basket. God is asking us to see the pain in the world. God is asking us to respond by rooting out the injustice that causes it. Sometimes, in order to see, business as usual must be interrupted. Sometimes people must gather in the streets, blocking traffic, halting commerce. Sometimes people have to sit at the counter or in the lobby. Sometimes people of justice must make a scene. We've been looking for what we can do as individuals and as a congregation about the crisis at our borders. We've been seeking ways to make our calls for justice, for care, for basic human dignity heard. Tomorrow, Christy, Kyle, and I will go as representatives of each of you, of Covenant Church, and we'll make a scene. We'll travel to El Paso and join with Reverend Dr. William Barber and hundreds of other faith leaders and justice-minded individuals from around the United States. We'll gather at the border. We go to demand an end to child detention. We go to demand that all refugees seeking asylum be granted the due process to do so. We go to demand equal protection under the law. We go to demand the preservation of human rights. We go to demand a termination of the Remain in Mexico program, which is putting people at a high risk of kidnapping, theft, extortion, and abuse. And we go to demand an end to family separation. Our demands are grounded in the most basic religious teachings and guaranteed by our Constitution. And if our demands are not met, we will act in accordance to our own conscience. We'll make a scene. We'll interrupt business as usual. We'll interrupt religion as usual. It doesn't matter how many ministers say that God blesses with wealth, no matter how many pastors pander to the money. God, throughout our sacred stories, God speaks for the poor again and again. God sends prophets like Amos to help us see, to help us change. Amos attacks the political and religious establishment. His preaching is a call to action, a plea for justice. Their business practices were full of fraud and abuse, prizing money over lives. Their religious practices were empty and had little to do with how they lived. Speaking for God, in an earlier passage, Amos complained, "For God, I take no pleasure in your solemn festivals. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." Amos tried. He tried to awaken the people from their complacency, to help them see that their lack of integrity and social justice was leading to their downfall. But they didn't listen. Amos is still speaking. The poor and the needy are being bought for silver, trampled for new shoes. We can do nothing, or in the ways that we are able, we can interrupt this injustice. The word of the Lord is not gone. It's available. It's here and now, if only we will listen. I pray we will listen. Not just the we here in this place, but the much larger we of our state and our country. I pray we will listen. Amen.